You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and my co-host, Keelan Harvey, your local mortgage experts, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 2nd show. We are here to help you build a strong financial blueprint, 1 week and one show at a time. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but we're here to answer any questions that you may have or connect you with the guests that we have on the show today. Please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, Sherry Pucksky with Windermere Real Estate. Does it really matter who you work with when it comes to today's real estate market? Sherry, thank you so much for joining Keelan and I in studio.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
And a little bit about Sherry. Sherry is ranked one of the top realtors in the greater Kirkland area. Although over 60% of her business is in her hometown of Kirkland, she gladly serves clients throughout the Puget Sound area. Sherry is a longtime resident of the East Side with 13 years experience in both new construction and residential real estate. Her clients enjoy Sherry's personal touch and appreciate the professionalism, commitment, and heartfelt care that she exhibits in every interaction. Sherry's success is based on her clients' repeat business and referrals, and she greatly values the friendships that continue well after the keys exchange hands. If you're ready to love where you live, please give Sherry a call.
So, Sherry, it's a seller's market out there. We all know that. Does it really matter who you hire to list your home?
Well, it does. It really matters. I'm sure you're well aware of the prices in our market, and everybody's looking to get top dollar for their house, and you really want to work with a professional to make sure that that happens.
And, you know, buyer representation, so you have somebody, an agent that represents the seller, which is the listing agent, and then the agent that represents the buyer, the buyer's agent or the seller's agent. And contracts are contracts. I mean, at least in Washington State, I know there's different purchase and sell contracts in different states or different MLSs. But you may have somebody come to you and say, well, it's just the same contract. So what does it really matter?
It does matter. There's a lot of different points of separation. One that I always start out with is contact with the listing agent, making that, introducing yourself, understanding what the seller is looking for, and then also understanding whether or not the seller has pre-inspected the home, reviewing the Form 17, making sure that buyer is conditionally approved so that you're coming in strong with as few contingencies as possible, and putting your best foot forward to do what you can to secure that property.
That makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, with all the changing rapid market we're in, what are the recent shifts that you've seen?
Summer is here. Things have slowed down a little bit. Inventory is up, which I think people are feeling, which is, it's up, but it's not nearly where it needs to be. But it's a nice reprieve, I'll say. And it's creating some great opportunities for buyers in this marketplace. Somewhat less competitive and just some nice opportunities for buyers to get in and secure homes.
A little bit, right? We'll take anything in this market
exactly.
As far as inventory
relatively
is concerned.
Relatively speaking, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, every little bit counts. So, Sherry, the risk of a seller listing their home at the top of the market.
Yeah, houses are going for a premium right now, and it's easy to want to list at the top of the what your real estate agent recommends if they recommend a range. And it's a better strategy to go towards the middle of that range. Buyers oftentimes at this point have experienced some fatigue. Maybe they've missed out on other opportunities and seen other properties escalate well above the asking price. And so it's easy for them to sometimes assume that the same thing will happen here. And if you're at the top of that range, they might back out and decide not to move forward for fear that they're going to pay more than they want to for the home.
Which then you're going to miss out on all those multiple offers.
Yep, potentially
yes.
So. So yeah. It's really a better strategy to list towards the middle, generate the level of interest, and receive those multiple offers and let the market take it to where it's going to go.
Let the market escalate it. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing more sellers are pre-inspecting their home prior to listing. What's the pros and what's the cons of doing that?
I love it when my sellers pre-inspect homes. There are pros and cons. The pros being no surprises for either party. Your deal is not going to be sidelined from, you know, some unexpected, maybe a roof replacement. If you pre-inspect the home, you're going to know that in advance and nobody's going to be caught off guard. Cons are that the seller may uncover unknown issues that will need to be disclosed or addressed. But still, better to know before entering into a buyer contract rather than having to renegotiate terms later down the road.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, in this market, not as much because people are waiving their inspections. But in when we get back into a normal market, it's having those pre-inspections, just as you said, is so critical because you're better to be able to negotiate at the beginning than to be in the middle of the contract and have to come back and renegotiate because things are, you know, things that come up. So it's really interesting. That's one of those areas that you see that agents are all in or all not in that pre-inspection space. And I think another benefit, too, is just not having all of those within this market with the buyers coming in and, you know, doing a pre-inspection on the property prior to making an offer on it. You have all those inspectors that are coming in.
Right.
And damaging potentially the home, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It allows buyers to move forward with confidence. A lot of times there's offer review dates. If the buyer doesn't see a property till Saturday or Sunday and the seller is looking at offers on Monday, there might not be time to secure an inspector to do their own pre-inspection. And so if they still want to get in, they have the seller's inspection report to review and move forward with confidence.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, a great thing in this market, you would think that we'd come up with some great solutions, but just hiring an inspector that, you know, could come in and actually represent not the seller, but all the buyers that are coming in, you know? Anyways, trying to think creatively out of the box.
What are some improvements? I mean, I hear about people talking about this all the time on the mortgage side of things, you know, what can we do to the home to get the best return on investment?
Sure. There's a couple of simple things that really go a long ways. And I would say first and foremost is slab countertops. If the house is 80s era or prior and you have tile in there, just to put a slab, whether it's quartz or granite. Quartz is kind of trending right now. And it's really a couple of $1,000s, but the return on investment goes far exceeds that. So that's an easy way to make an improvement. The kitchen and the bathrooms in and of themselves are great ways or great areas to focus your investments. Another one would be cabinet hardware. A lot of times cabinets don't have any hardware, and just adding some simple modern pulls or knobs goes a long way. In addition to a backsplash, a tile backsplash can really have a big impact as well. And fresh things like fresh paint, new carpet, pop of color on the landscaping, all relatively affordable ways that really buyers see or sellers a good return on their investment.
Well, I mean, in the reality, curb appeal makes a big difference. You come up, you see the property, it's all those little details, and so it's sharp that really kind of make people really fall in love with that property, right?
The old adage about first impressions is never truer than real estate. I mean, you really only have one opportunity to make a great first impression, and so you really want to put your best foot forward and capture people's attention right out of the gate.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So let's talk about new construction versus resale. And I noticed in the new construction, you don't really have those crazy multiple offer scenarios like you do in resale. So why is that? And what other difference is there happening in the resale versus new construction market?
Well, new construction is jumping in on that bandwagon. So I do on occasion see multiple offers. And what's interesting is sometimes that's on a presale. So it's on a not even on a house. It's on a house to be. So,
yeah. Wow. So you're seeing that 10, 20 multiple offers, like just the craziness or?
No, it's fewer. And sometimes they review offers as they come in. But the process is quite different. And first and foremost, the timing is the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. With a resale, you're generally closing anywhere from 10 to 30 to 45 days, depending upon if the buyer is paying cash or obtaining financing. With new construction, depending upon when they release the home, it can be that time frame if it's a completed home, but oftentimes it's 30, 60, 90, 12, or 18 months, 30, 60, 90, or days or months. So it's a big difference in relation to resale. In addition, the financing can be a bit different because as lenders, you're well aware, rate locks generally are not quite that long. So buyers are either floating or doing an extended rate lock. So that can be a little bit different in the process. New construction can allow some level of customization if it is a presale. That varies from builder to builder, but it's just a nice way to put a personal touch on the home if that's something that the seller allows. But one other difference would be some of the additional costs with purchasing new construction, needing to buy blinds or appliances for the home that generally
yeah, and
would
that
come.
Could be a big cost miss not to
For
have
sure.
that in your budgeting. Yes.
Yep, but you need those things to move in and live in your home, yes. so something to keep in mind.
Well, speaking to our lane, so finalizing your lender is obviously very important. So why is that important, Sherry?
It's important because it just gives you confidence. You know what you're moving forward with. You know what your pricing is going to look like. Generally, you go through the underwriting process in advance, which can allow you to shorten the time frame. And if it is a multiple offer situation and the home is vacant or the seller is looking to close sooner, that can really give you an upper edge.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely with it being in the finance arena, as Keelan said, you know, getting that that pre-approval and making sure that it has been completely underwritten and you have that you can go in with that strong offer, because I know a lot of buyers out there are waiving finance contingency. So you cannot afford not to have that tiled in at a very, very high level.
Correct.
So let's talk about the difference with single family homes and condos. What are you seeing there, Sherry?
Well, there's a lot to keep in mind. There's a lot of differences between the two. First and foremost are the homeowners association dues. They can be considerably higher in a condominium. Also, when you purchase a condominium, you either receive a public offering statement or a resale certificate, which is a lot of information about the dues, the budget, the potentially a reserve study, which is an evaluation of how well funded the association is in relation to the ongoing work and maintenance that's required. So, and other things to be aware of, too, depending upon if you're purchasing it as a primary residence or an investment property, is whether or not there is a rent cap. That's oftentimes a big question for folks.
And it's, you know, having that time in there to make sure, especially if we talk about waiving finance contingency and knowing what that resale cert is, making sure that the condo is going to be
yes.
you know, it's going to be approved with the lender. We've got one right now that came in, and there's a Fannie Mae guideline that's not, you know, doesn't meet the requirements. So making sure also that your lender has the ability to send in exceptions to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac to see if they can kind of work around that, because a lot of times they will. But yeah, there's a lot of lot of things that can happen
with
condos.
Working closely with the lender is very important on a condominium, especially up front.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, I have to ask, in this market with the expensive, you know, the cost for a house is high, are people opting for condos, or is it a mix, do you think, or... You know, what are you seeing?
I see the full range. I mean, if there's budget constraints, sometimes people do look at condominiums, but you have to keep those dues in mind. I mean, dues vary considerably. They can be hundreds of dollars, you know, upwards of $800-$900, which can significantly impact a budget. But they offer a nice option because you're not responsible for some of the maintenance in many cases, or it's kind of the lock and leave lifestyle. So it's up to each individual, but they do offer a nice alternative.
Yeah. So every $100, that's about $20,000 in buying potential.
Right.
That's what it kind of equals, depending on the down payment, obviously. But if you're doing in that 10-20% down payment range, it's about $50 per 10,000. So it can make a huge difference. I usually say you're about $30,000-$40,000 less than a condo price.
Right. And you got to think about if that, you know, oftentimes at that price point or that dues point, there's amenities that you're paying for, whether it's a concierge or a swimming pool or a fitness center. And if you're going to utilize those, then perhaps that makes sense to you. But if you're not, certainly something to consider.
Yeah. Parting tips that you have. We've got a minute left here, Sherry. What tip would you give our listeners?
I would just recommend meeting up front with your agent before getting started to ensure the relationship is a good fit. It's a big investment. It's probably the biggest investment that you're going to make, and you want to make sure that you've got an advocate looking out for you that's going to be there for you beyond the sale, you know, as a advisor and a consultant, whether it's for future remodeling or investments, somebody that you can always turn to in the future.
Love it. Sherry, thank you so much for joining us in studio. It was a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you again for having me.
Thank you, Sherry.
And coming up next in the Money Hour, buying and selling in this competitive market, Brian Richman and Jason Irwin with Irwin Richman Real Estate. Right here at 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.